Hello, and welcome back to another episode of Beyond the To-Do List. I'm your host, Eric Fisher, and this is the show where I talk to the people behind the productivity. This week, I'm talking to Dan Clark, CEO of Brain.fm, which I have been a longtime user of, and it is definitely behind my productivity, but not only my productivity. This is not only music to focus, it's music to relax to, meditate to, get better sleep with, all around just be able to get into certain mental states on demand. And I've just been blown away by what it can do for you and what it's done for me. And I share this in the conversation, but I have typically gone to sleep using music. Well, Brain.fm has been a better way for me to do that, not only to get to sleep faster, stay asleep all night, but get deeper, better sleep. Not to mention the variety of the different types of music that I can use through their app and download them for on the go if I want to, for focusing, doing that focused work as we've talked about in deep work in a number of episodes on this show. Brain.fm is offering a 20% off a full year using my affiliate link, beyondthetodolist.com/brainfm. Using that not only gets you to a place where you can do a free trial and see if this works for you, like it does for me. But it'll also help support the show, and you get 20% off your first year, which is a great deal. Again, that URL is beyondthetodolist.com/brainfm. All right, enjoy this conversation with Dan Clark. With this week, it is my privilege to welcome to the show Daniel Clark. Daniel, welcome to the show.
Hey, how's it going?
I am great, and I'm really excited about this. This is one of those topics when it comes to music per se, although that's not necessarily what this is. I have listened to music as I've fallen asleep since I was in like junior high. So, and I'm not going to say how long that now has been since then, but let's just say at least two decades. So, but for me, music as well as just improving and achieving higher success and or other brain states is hugely appealing to me. And so the work that you and really this the science and all of that behind Brain.fm is incredibly interesting to me. It mixes like productivity, it mixes technology, it mixes, gosh, I don't know how many other interests of mine. So thanks for being here.
Yeah, my pleasure. I'm excited to go in with everything and go through the details with you.
So ultimately, Brain.fm, a lot of people are going to think, oh, it's music that helps you focus. The problem with that is that that's such a limited idea of what it really is. And so maybe start off with, not to make this like a commercial for a whole episode or anything, but there is some accessing of higher levels or better levels or different levels or whatever you want to call it of mental states that this allows you to do. So I guess just give me the pitch for what Brain.fm is on the glance, and then we'll dig deeper into it.
Sure. So Brain.fm, we create functional music to help people focus, relax, and sleep better. It's all backed by scientific study, research, and experiments. Basically, what we do is we're able to encourage your mental state into a certain locking, right? So we call it neural phase locking. And what we do is we build music with an AI and with composers to get the best of both worlds, which we can go into later. But basically, the whole goal is to being able to produce and arrive to mental states on demand. And whether it's focusing, relaxing, sleeping, or different combinations of those, and again, I'm sure we're going to go through those as well, being able to have that anytime you want. For the focus product specifically, what I tell people is it's kind of like when you've had two cups of coffee, it's 2 a.m. of your project due tomorrow, and you feel like you find your flow state, you feel like you find this zone where you can fly, you can do anything. And we enable that on demand for focus any time of day. For sleeping, we can help people fall asleep in 10 to 15 minutes and stay asleep. Really what we're trying to do is bring out the best version of yourself that you're already accessible, and find a shortcut to get there anytime you want it, whenever you need it.
So you use the phrase neural phase locking. I'm interested in hearing, like, what does that exactly mean?
Sure. So basically, that is the combination of what our AI does and producing the music. So I'm sure that some of your listeners are familiar or have heard before binaural beats or isochronic tones. And basically, the idea of those were that you play different frequencies and different kinds of ears and different kinds of values, and they're able to do what I just said. The challenge with that is, even though that there has been evidence to show that's improvement, there's actually tons of evidence that shows that that is actually not something that's beneficial. And it's kind of like leftover pop science. What we have with our neural phase locking is kind of like that promise delivered, where we are able to combine different kinds of frequencies, salient events, different kinds of tones, and really crafting our music. And the interesting part of how we arrive to it is that I like to tell or explain our music as a skyscraper. And really, the scaffolding of the skyscraper is that neural phase locking. It's the brain protocol that we have for every different kinds of mental state, right? And then our music, we actually put on the outside of that scaffolding, and it's more the facade. So it doesn't matter if you're listening to our jazz. It doesn't matter if you're listening to our lo-fi. It doesn't matter if you're listening to our electronic. It actually has all very similar neural phase locking, which helps you get into that mental state and then lock and stay there for as long as you're listening to the music. Does it make sense?
That makes a lot of sense. And I've heard of binaural beats and other kinds of things like that before. I'd had like apps on my phone about, I don't know, 7 to 10 years ago. Maybe the phone. No, we had apps 10 years ago. Sorry. See, it's like, wait, what world are we living in now? I don't know. But I remember that, putting in like earbuds in my ears and sitting there in my cubicle and picking like a binaural beat kind of a thing that was named Caffeine. And it was supposed to give you like awake again after you'd been like, you know, wearing out. And I was trying to stay off coffee at the time. And I could never be quite sure if it was a placebo effect or not.
Yep. I totally understand that. I mean, I'm right there with you. So I, you know, when I get involved in this company, and I'm not sure if you want me to go into my whole story,
actually I do. Let's do that, because I think that lends some credibility here, which is the fact that like you did not work for them. They existed. And then you sought them out.
Yeah, so a little bit on me. So I've always built businesses using technology, and very excited about how technology has an opportunity to really just change businesses and how you reach people and everything, right? And I was working in an advertising space at the time. And personally, I've always been interested in human 2.0, right? So every single diet I've tried, all these different kinds of L-theanine and nootropics and things like that I've done. You know, we can go through the list, but basically I've tried it all. I've done binaural beats, and I came across this product right when it launched. And, you know, I was skeptical, like everyone is and everyone should be. And I remember listening to them and just doing some work and was blown away, because one of these things is you can actually feel the difference, and it's because it physiologically changes your body while you listen to our music. And I was like, whoa, this is going to change the world. How do I get involved? How do I get into this rocket ship, right? And I called them up and I called them up and I called them up, and after like the 12th time, they finally got back to me, and I told them like, hey, you know, like, this is what I do, you need to have me. And they were like, no, you know, we're not ready, or we don't have the budget, or X, Y, and Z. I actually quit my job because I felt so passionate about what we're doing. And I think it's very rare that there's businesses that line up with something that can help change the world. And I worked for the first month for free and, you know, proved that I knew what I was doing. And then, you know, eventually got a job, and, you know, down the road, basically ended up seeing the vision further than I think the original people that started it, and then was brought on to be CEO and run the company from there. So it's really interesting. I never thought or envisioned that I was going to be in this position, but I'm here, and we're all working together to see that goal of being able to enhance humanity and you know, really grow what we're doing.
So your experience with Brain FM was similar to something that I mentioned that I'm a lifetime member to, as of like 2-3 years ago, in our pre-call conversation. People that are listening to this are familiar, obviously, with me mentioning on the show before, Focus at Will. And when I first tried that, I had this, that same kind of experience that you did, where it was like, it was almost like getting on a track and suddenly realizing not that you're going faster, but that you're going longer distance with less effort, metaphorically, so to speak.
Yep.
And a lot of people out there, when I talked about it, they would say, well, why wouldn't I just get an Apple Music or Spotify playlist and do that instead and find, you know, similar music that people have curated out there? But it's not the same thing.
It's not. So make a long story short. So the founder of this company, his name's Adam Hewitt. I tell everyone he's my secret weapon. And he's been doing this for 18 years and basically building these mental states through music. So we do something in the brain called entrainment, which is basically a principle of like locking. And we can go through that. But basically, he's been creating these things through entrainment. You can do it through sound. You can do it through magnets. You can do it through light. It was always very interesting that. So the founder has been doing this for 18 years and started developing this technology. And we use something called entrainment, which you can do with magnets, you can do it with sound, or you can do it with lights. And he started building this in sound, obviously, and started refining it. So at one time, it took 6 months of active use for 2 hours a day to feel a bump in your productivity. And like you were saying before, is this placebo? Is this working? Who knows, right? And he's like, this isn't something that's going to work. And it was really designed for medical and research purposes. And then from there, it was 3 months. From there, it was 2 months after refining it and refining it and refining it. And that's why we actually build everything with an AI. He's one of the first people to build an AI system that can produce sounds and line things up. And we kept going and kept going. And along the way, I think specifically, like you were mentioning, Focus at Will, I think they had similar principles to where they were starting. But there was one point where we went in different directions and we are doing things more than focus. And we also have continual research and improvement on what we're doing. So, you know what? To be honest, I feel like if you compared both products, I'm going to let you decide which one you like better. But what we're doing with our Focus product is we actually have a grant from the government to help us validate whether we can be a preliminary step or a replacement for ADHD medications. And we have studies and science to prove what we're doing actually is effective. And we're doing more than that. We're doing sleep. We're doing relax. We're actually working on the back end and workout. And what we try to do is really be science first. So when you're using our product, not only can you feel it, like I was mentioning before, but you actually can look at the scientific evidence to show how this affects population on a long scale and, you know, have that backing to feel, you know, it's not just me. It's not just my own personal preference. Is this going to scale? Is this going to change? We're really on this bleeding edge of audio neuroscience, and we should keep pushing that boundary.
This is fascinating to me because, again, I am somebody, again, listeners of the show would know, who has ADHD but has opted out of taking medication because the side effects would mess up my sleep or mess up my appetite and other things like that, which were way worse negative-wise, you know, symptomatic-wise, to deal with those things than it was the ADHD. So, again, partly why I got into productivity and built systems and things like that. But for something like this to aid in the alleviation of things like that, that's partly why I turned to music, because it's that, oh gosh, I'm going to botch this, but you probably know more about the neuroscience behind this. So let me say this and then you can kind of correct it. That'll be good.
Sure.
Essentially, when it comes down to ADHD, one of the cool things for me is to play music or, you know, sometimes it's coffee shop noise or different things like that, that will distract my brain enough in a weird way so that my brain can stop wandering and getting up out of its seat metaphorically and sit down and literally just focus on the task at hand. So that is how I typically would use a tool like this, where I would say, okay, put my headphones on and it blocks out the world and keeps me from, in other words, in a weird way, it's not blocking out, it's allowing a specific distraction It preoccupies, you know, it's almost like, oh gosh, this is bad. It's almost
you're really close. You're really close to exactly what it's doing.
It's almost like handing my son an iPad so he stops bothering me so I can work. And that's horrible parenting. Shame on me. But at the same time, that's not always bad.
You know what? So you're so close. And it's really interesting. So I can talk on a scientific level and talk about how, you know, what we're doing, but whenever I have these discussions, I like to talk about it from an evolutionary level, because the reason why this works on me, you, and, you know, pretty much all of humanity is because that we're all humans and we have fundamental things that we've evolved to exist. And that's how we're here now, right? And if you look at music and really just listening, the way that hearing is intertwined to our brain is very, very interesting, right? So it's one of the senses you can't shut off. If you're sleeping and I say your name, you wake up. Why? Well, because 20,000 years ago, when we're in, you know, caves or huts or something, that could be like noises could be, you know, a bear coming to eat you or another villager trying to kill you or whatever, right? And it's this alert system. So our body is actually designed for distractions, because distractions save our lives, right? And what happens in present day is that we don't have those distractions. So our brain is in overdrive and heightened awareness about what is going on. And, you know, again, before it was this life or death situation of a jaguar coming, and now it's a life or death situation of an ex-girlfriend texting you. You know, it doesn't have the same exact thing, but our brain treats it as such.
Yes.
And because it doesn't have these stimulations, even if you're in a desk and in a computer and you feel safe and you know you do, it's still looking for danger. I say in the same way, most people sleep better in thunderstorms and rainstorms, because most predators don't hunt in thunder and rainstorms. The same reason why red makes us hungry, because by going through the canopy and seeing a red apple, we've been able to find that that is sustenance that feeds us. And that's why there's all these psychological studies that show, you know, why McDonald's paints their walls reds and things like that. It's all these evolutionary like mechanisms. And what we do with our music, we take those starting points and we say, great. And we build those in. And like what I tell people is we have like 9 secret sauces, right? but we have all these different kind of fundamentals that we do from an evolutionary perspective, from a modern perspective, from, you know, all these different kinds of things to really build the best music from the ground up for you for every single time. Does that make sense?
Totally. Yes. And yeah. That is perfect way to put that. I really appreciate you simplifying that down. So
no, but you got it. I mean, really, it's exactly what you're thinking, is that your mind is always looking in these other ways. And what the music basically does is just direct your mind so you can focus on one thing, because you don't have to focus on, you know, these other distractions. So, you know, I don't know if I'll say in my marketing thing of give your inner brain an iPad, but we'll work on it.
Yeah, you can run with that and take that. In the same way that this show is not just about productivity in and of itself, it's about all the different aspects of that. It's your tool, which, I mean, that's what it really is it is a tool that isn't just about, again, popping caffeine pills to focus. Although mm-hmm. that's not even necessarily a good idea either, because the jitteriness of it is not going to – anyway, we won't go there necessarily. But it's not just about focus. It's not just about sitting down, putting your headphones on, cranking music that helps you focus, and then plowing through. There's so much more that our brain is capable of doing, and these other states that I'm really interested in being able to use this to, one, help me relax, two, help me get better sleep, which is hugely important. And we've had a whole episodes on this show before. Meditation as well. So I'm curious, how does the same tool help you between focusing and meditating and relaxing and recharging and sleeping?
Yeah, good question. So basically, go back to that scaffolding thing, right? That I was mentioning before, the metaphor. And what we do is we start with the thing that we're trying to do. So traditionally, what a lot of people do is that there's music created in the ethos of the world, right? So some people use Spotify for that. And they basically say, I want to create a sleep track, right? And they find piano music, they find soothing music, they find music that they associate with going to bed, right? And what we do is we actually discard all of that knowledge and we say, okay, first off, what does the brain look like when we're sleeping? What does the brain look like when we're relaxing, right? And we have, you know, EEG readings, fMRI readings, all these different kinds of data points to know what it looks like. And we put that scaffolding into that AI system. And then we work, and our composers, this is why we work with composers and an AI, is basically they design these sounds that we associate with sleep around those things. So we can actually make people fall asleep listening to electronic music, but it's not really as enjoyable.
Right.
But so we really start with this fundamental approach of, you know, mental state first, music second. And that's how we're able to craft for sleeping, to relaxing, to focusing. The whole idea is basically, again, being able to have a mental state on demand at any time. And it's a similar technology in all these different kinds of functions, but it's a different approach in the level of tuning. So Brain FM, I don't know if you caught this, but basically it's like a tuner for your mind, right? Like an FM tuner. And that's why we have that name.
Oh, that's a really great way of looking at it, is, you know, kind of turning the dial and getting into a certain station. And so all these different things are different stations your brain can tune into. That's cool.
Yep, exactly.
Well, and this is essentially radio, what we're doing here right now. So that fits as well. So for me, again, I've been falling asleep since I was like 13, maybe a little before that.
Mm-hmm.
For nearly 30 years now, I've been sleeping to music, like not all night. Like I will put it in and then, you know, when it's done playing, it's done playing. For me, that's always been kind of I kind of focus in on the music itself and the music, you know, sometimes it is electronic music, or similar to it or rock or whatever. But anyways, the music distracts my brain. So I'm not thinking about the day or not having that, you know, keeping me awake mentality. I can fall asleep probably within 10, 15, 20 minutes if I'm listening to music, but mm-hmm. I'm actually interested in trying this because I think it may work better or be more effective. In other words, because it's designed for that.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of interesting things that are going on with actually what you're telling me, right? So, it's more than just music, right? There's also habits that are baked into what we're doing, yes. Right? And there's a lot of, it's really interesting because even though we, you know, are setting and focusing on one thing, we actually come across all these other things at the same time. So for you specifically, I would say you have a habit over the last, you know, X yes. amount of years, let's say that, of falling asleep to music. And that is actually like a priming effect for you going to bed. I'm sure that you don't need to have it every time. But if you don't have music, it kind of feels weird, right? And it's because you have, on a psychological perspective, a certain kind of trigger that you associate with it's time to go to bed. So with that being said is, you know, I applaud that you found a way over the years to fall asleep in 10 to 15 minutes. And because that doesn't work for everyone, right? With our music, I would say that it wouldn't make you maybe fall asleep faster, because our promise right now is 10 to 15 minutes, but it may make you fall asleep in a deeper sleep. So taking a step back, our music is designed for, you know, again, people like yourself that have this trigger or these already listen to music in all these different activities. But it's also designed for people that don't. So for people that have challenges sleeping, it's, you don't need to build this trigger system and this habit thing. It's designed that the first time you listen to our music, it helps you fall asleep in 15 minutes. Now, one of the things that I'd like to say is that for, the sleep music, especially, it's important that you use, you know, cause that sounds like you're going to go home and test this out. It's important that either you use headphones that you can find that are comfortable and you can sleep in, or you Bluetooth to a speaker that's high fidelity enough to get the depth of sound mm-hmm. that we have. So
yes.
We have our sound files are like 8 times bigger than normal sound files that you'd find on Spotify or these other music providers. And it's because of all the depth of sounds and variations. But yeah, it's made to help you fall asleep. But the real premise and the real great stuff about our music for sleeps, especially, is it actually plays the whole night, and it's made to keep you asleep. And that's really important, because what happens is we have a lot of different things that are going on, right? We have REM sleep, we have slow wave sleep, we have these intervals and circadian rhythms in our sleep cycles, right? And what we're trying to do is keep that neural phase locking the whole time. And we have preliminary studies showing that we can help people induce slow wave sleep. Now, there's certain connections that I guess I shouldn't probably make now, but we have some really promising results to show, you know, muscle recovery, different kinds of mental performance. We did a pilot study with a U.S. wrestling team where they used our sleep product. And it was one of the first times where any male competitor, the youngest in the history, ended up sweeping gold. So there's a lot of really interesting stuff there, and we have to unpack a lot. But it's also really interesting because when you wake up in the morning, your sleep is actually relevant to how you wake up in the morning. Sometimes if you look at sleep trackers and things like that, you go, oh, it says I didn't sleep really well, but I feel amazing. Because in the last 20 minutes when you woke up, you woke up great. You woke up on the right side of the bed. There's actually some truth to that age-old thing of waking up on the wrong side of the bed, which is interesting. But without going into too much details and things of that nature, I'd be really curious with, you know, your experience and, you know, what you're doing to do it. All I was going to say is a lot of people right now, and I wanted to bring this up, is they use white noise and mm-hmm. things like that to sleep, right? And the challenge with that is that there's no system in that. So your brain all night, a part of it, is trying to figure out what this is, because there's no oscillating waves. There's no nothing. It's just randomized noise. And it works on some people, but there's a lot of studies that show that it's not as effective, especially for like developing mammals and things like that, which we can go to later.
But so let me put it this way. My whole family actually does use, you know, a fan of some sort just as a small amount of white noise. So I've got that also going on at the same time.
So fans are different, yes. Because even though it's white noise, or, you know, in that paradigm, it's actually has a cycle and has a pattern to it. So that's okay. Some people have white noise machines that just play random static or static from a TV, and those are not as good, I will say.
Gotcha. Okay.
We're going to take a quick moment to say thank you to our sponsors for making this episode possible. First up is Blinkist. In this episode, we're talking about getting into focus states, and I use Brain.fm to do that. But one of the other apps that I use in conjunction with Brain.fm is Blinkist. When I'm deciding to sit and read with Blinkist, I'm using Brain.fm to focus on it. Blinkist is one of the other most useful apps on my phone, aside from Brain.fm. Blinkist takes the best key takeaways, the need-to-know information from thousands of nonfiction books, and condenses them down into just 15 minutes that you can read or listen to. I will also often listen to them on the go. That's kind of what I do, is if I'm in movement or in commute mode, I listen. When I'm in stationary mode, that's again when I sit and read, and that's when I'm using Brain.fm in conjunction with that. I love Blinkist because ultimately it lets me get more books read and spend less time reading long form books that honestly you don't need to spend hours reading when you can get the main points of it by using Blinkist. Now, that said, don't think that this is just a hack for never reading those books, because there are often times where this is what helps me be choosy about then choosing a longer form book to read. Like, for example, after reading something that gives you the basic overview from, like, say, Michael Hyatt with a Your Best Year Ever or a Free to Focus book, like those two are great books, I'm going to want to go ahead and get those books anyway so I can do the depth work that needs to happen by going through those and processing those properly. But I wouldn't know that if I hadn't used Blinkist first. And those two books are just two great examples from the massive library that Blinkist has, where you get unlimited access to, again, to read or listen to. Right now, for a limited time, Blinkist has a special offer for you to go to Blinkist.com/beyond and try it for free for 7 days. And then you can save 25% off a new subscription. That's Blinkist, spelled B-L-I-N-K-I-S-T, IST, Blinkist.com/beyond to start your free 7-day trial. And you'll also save 25% off, but only when you sign up with Blinkist.com/beyond. I also want to say thank you to FinancePal for making this show possible. I know many of you are small business owners and entrepreneurs, which means you're probably spending a lot of time and money on your accounting functions in your business. And if that's the case, here's what you need to know about FinancePal. FinancePal is the smartest way to streamline and manage all your accounting needs, your bookkeeping, billing, your payroll, your tax preparation. They can do all of that because the days of full-time accountants and outdated software is over. And unlike accounting firms that bill by the hour, with FinancePal, you pay a flat, low monthly rate, and you get state-of-the-art, secure, cloud-based technology. And you can get started for as low as $99 a month. With a custom accounting plan and a dedicated team to keep it running smoothly, FinancePal handles all your accounting needs so you can get back to what matters most, growing your business. And as your business grows, they'll grow with you every step of the way. And right now, my listeners can get a free trial when you sign up. Visit FinancePal.com/beyond. Again, go to FinancePal.com/beyond and start your free trial today. FinancePal, the only friend your business needs. And lastly, this episode's brought to you in part by the University of California, Irvine's Division of Continuing Education. UCI's continuing education can help you gain an edge in your career, make a career transition, all while providing you with the flexibility to stay on top of your game in your current role while you prepare to level up. Open enrollment means there's no applications to complete. You just log in and sign up. You can pay for a single course or enroll in an entire certificate program. You have full control over your academic plan. Their 100% online courses offer convenience and flexibility, and a real immersive online classroom experience as you collaborate with your peers. Winter registration is open now. Visit ce.uci.edu/beyond-to-do list and enter beyond for 15% off one course. That's ce.uci.edu/beyond-to-do list and enter beyond to get 15% off one course. This offer is only valid until December 31st, 2019 at 11:59 p.m.
Two things came to mind. One is the workout side of things, which you don't have available, but you're testing. And I want to come back to that in a second. But first, quality of sleep. Yes, that's huge. Like I can, you know, I have been doing sleep tracking on my watch for a while now and my phone, but I switched over to the watch because I have found it to be more accurate. Yeah, I'm going to definitely try to use this as a quality of sleep. What I don't know to get better quality of sleep. And that reminds me, I don't know if you've ever, this was something I was literally just watching yesterday. I don't know if you're familiar with Norm MacDonald from SNL. He has this new show on Netflix and he had David Letterman on there. And I don't know why they got into this, but they were talking about somebody. Oh, I know, because Dave races cars. So we were talking about, you know, how fast he had gone and things like that. And he'd gotten up to like 140 at some place on this highway that is like whatever. And, but they veered over into conversation wise into somebody who had broke the record and gotten down to doing like the 4-minute mile and that person did it. And then within that same year, once somebody had heard that that was possible, 20 more people did it. And within the next like 2 years, 50 to 150 or more had done it. And it was this like psychological barrier. And that Norm had heard somebody say that basically it's physically possible to get to a point where a human could even run a 2-minute mile, but it's our brain that gets in our way, that it's constantly saying, you're going to die, you're going to die, you're going to die. And it sounds like now then pivot, you know, this one, it, the music here, the science behind this would help you overcome that kind of stopping point, that physical or psychological hang up stopping point for a lot of these things where it's like, no, I can't focus, or no, I can't meditate, or no, I can't get good sleep. It's going to help you slip beyond that. But I'm really fascinated since I was talking about physical stuff with the running of the mile, what you guys are looking at in terms of the workout stuff. And I know it's not available yet. It's not going to be available for a while, but I really want it.
Yeah. Well, so first off, I'm actually very familiar with that story. In another life, so I'm a secondary black belt. And that was something that you constantly have to tell yourself and push yourself, because it's not always about your physical capabilities, it's more about your mental. I mean, if you look at these endurance challenges of people that go 2 days, like Ironman triathlons, right? You look at these guys, and granted, they train for this, but I would argue that the harder part of training is the mental capability to push yourself. I have yet to run a marathon, but I've talked to a lot of people that have, and they say, hey, listen, after mile, what is it, 18? Feel free to correct me if I'm wrong, because again, I'm not a runner. But there, it's just the mental game. It doesn't matter what your body feels or not. And one of my friends actually like sprained her ankle and finished running a marathon because she was so determined about finishing it. Getting that back into what we're doing with the mental states is, to be completely honest, we're trying to figure out why some of the characteristics of some of these workout music actually work, right? So what happens is some of our music and our things are actually just trials. So focus, relax, and sleep, you know, we got down, we nailed, and we're, you know, just actually just making it better through study. But we do different kinds of experiments as far as just ideas and theories. And we thought that, hey, people are already using our focus music right now to work out. So how can we push that further? And what are things that we can do and introduce to the music to make it different than focus, to make it specifically designed for workout? So we're currently testing it. Some of the current preliminary studies show that we can increase someone's cardiovascular output or strength or weight lifting by 20 to 40%. I personally use it myself, and I can hold a plank for like 6.5 minutes. And normally I can hold maybe for 2.5. And it's really interesting because it doesn't necessarily make you stronger by listening to music, but it does something where it aligns your mind into a certain type of, you know, pushing. And to be completely honest, I'm not on the research side of this product. You know, I have a director of science. He's from MIT and Harvard. And whenever I talk to him, I'm like, what do we learn about now? You know, and what we want to do, and the reason why it's not available now, even though we've had some really promising results, is because we're science first. So we're going to be doing some clinical studies on this. We're going to be doing some large scale testing, you know, in labs and things like that. So when we release it, we can show without a shadow that this is something through evidence that helps you. And then you can experience it and try it and like, you know, feel it as well. So that's probably not going to happen for at least another year, but I'm really excited for when it does.
Yeah, I think that there's real promise and potential there. That as well as the again, the ADHD side of things is really kind of thrilling to me personally. So,
Yeah, totally. I think that's really, and I may be repeating myself, but that's what we're trying to do here. We're trying to really give everyone an opportunity across really the entire world. It doesn't matter if you speak English or Mandarin or French, right? We're all human. And we're trying to give people a way to unlock what's already in them and being the best version of themselves. So you, and it's not something that what we're doing is we're imbuing people with special powers. You know, you can always get this focus state on your own, but it's really difficult because of the world that we live in. Mm-hmm. You know, even myself, right? Like I'm working out and sometimes I have things on my mind that distract me from my workout. And it's a lot easier to get into that zone when you're playing, you know, this music designed to focus your mind and almost give you like that meditative state in these different areas of your life and just do what you need to do. Because half of it is not worrying about, you know, I don't know, taxes or, you know, your dog or this or family or what, you know, it's just about going to the gym, lifting weights, putting them back down, running far, you know, but what happens is we distract ourselves with the things that are important to us, but should be able to be, you know, maybe forgotten or pushed away for, you know, 30 minutes.
Yeah. See, and I suspect even aside from the habitual obvious hook that you called attention to with my listening to music as I go to bed at night, that I think that's what I use it for. I think that's, you know, as a teenager, as an early teen on up to now just being adult, it was kind of this way to escape the world as I fell asleep instead of thinking about you know, whatever was on my mind that day that stressed me out.
Yeah, definitely.
I know we briefly touched on the whole, like, again, people are like, well, I'll just play Spotify music or Apple playlist, you know, Apple Music playlist stuff that's out there that, you know, I've seen people share on Twitter, things like that. And here's the thing, like, there are times during my workday where, yes, I actually do want to put on actual music, and maybe because I do want to be distracted from the work that I'm doing, because maybe I want to take my time with it a little bit and actually, you know, enjoy it or something. Cause again, that's kind of the thing with music, is it's about getting us not in these mental states per se, but more in a mood, you know, an emotional state. So this is different from that. This is getting in the right headspace, not the like heart space, if I can.
100%. That's why we call it, that's why I specifically call it functional music, actually.
Yes. So I'm curious, though, what your, again, we talked about this, how you, you experienced the Brain FM program and then decided, I have to be part of this. So obviously it worked for you. I'm curious, though, that was what, 6 years ago or a little less, something like that?
3 years ago.
3 years ago. Okay. So they've been around for six. You've been part of it for three. But for these past 3 years, like, what's your personal experience been? How are you using this tool effectively in your own life?
Yeah, sure. So there's a lot of different variations of what power users use, which I'm happy to share. But for me, what I do is I start every day off with focus. And what I do is basically take a notebook out and I write down the top three things that I have to do that day. And then these other things that I have to kind of get through or pay attention to. Then I bring up my emails and then I just plug away and get all of my emails done. Right. And what I find best for me is that having a concentrated or scheduled time for focus. And it sounds really weird, but It's something that I find more effective when you have this specific respected time. We have some users that put on focus and they play it all time, the hot time they're working. And it's not that I don't recommend that. It's really whatever works for you. But I like to start my day off with it. I like to start with a heavy focus session because then it kind of puts me in the zone and I can weave in and out from there. You know, we were talking earlier, I think before the call, about why we're calling this functional music and why the main discernment. And it's because this isn't specifically created to replace your Apple Music or your Spotify or your, you know, rock and roll music, right? It's made for specific tasks. And I think it should be treated as such. So I specifically like EDM music, right? And I listen to that as much as I listen to our product, right? And it's really coming through the workday or through your life and finding specific times for that. So usually start my day around 8 o'clock or so. I put on focus for about 90 to 120 minutes. I try to crush out as many things as I can in there. Then I usually jump on a few meetings or a podcast like this. And then right after this, I'll probably be jumping on to a little bit more jivey stuff where I'll put on some like an EDM mix for a little bit. And then I'll probably finish the day off with another 90 minutes to 120 minutes of focus and then go through my day. You know, obviously I'm doing the workout music because I'm really interested in figuring out, you know, a lot of these questions that we have and refining it. And then I live in New York City where there's so many, you know, noise pollution, right? So I have a very high fidelity Bluetooth speaker that actually pairs to two speakers. And one's on one side of the bed, one's on the other. And I put on sleep. And I specifically like the beach sounds. So I put that on every night to go to bed.
Are you using the Meditate at all?
So I do. I use Meditate. To be completely honest, you know, meditation's challenging because of the lives, the place that we live in the world, right? So I do. I can't say I use that every single day because for me, meditation is this respected space.
Right.
And I try to make sure that, you know, I actually have it scheduled on my calendar. But for me, I really want to make sure that that's more about self-discovery and looking inside of myself. So it's harder to do for me during the week just because, you know, everything that I'm doing, I'm jumping on flights and things like that. So I really normally put that on the weekends where I can do a, you know, a session for 60 minutes and really dive into that.
Meditation is one of those things where it's in itself, with or without the music, about getting into a certain brain state, mm-hmm. in a sense. So I would say that potentially somebody who's having a hard time, or who has always had a hard time, is like, oh, meditation's not for me, I can't do it, would maybe find this helpful, almost like a beginning, like, crutch to get started with. And they maybe they themselves would train up enough that they could do it more easily without music. That's just a theory.
Mm-hmm. So it's actually both ways. It could be a training wheel application, which kind of helps you get into that headspace faster, right? And helps you just really, you know, again, on the fundamental level, we encourage a mental state. So mm-hmm. it's hard to arrive there by yourself. It's through training and you know, a lot of these things. I just admitted before this that meditation is hard to do with a travel schedule and busy and running a company. But there was a time where I'd meditate every day for 20 minutes. And it's really difficult to start and to actually feel something because you don't know what you're even trying to feel. You know right. what I mean? And yeah, we do have people that try us for meditation and, you know, take it seriously and have this experience. And they're like, oh, okay, this is what I need to feel now. And we also have some people that have meditated for years and they go, I'm going to try this. And some people self-report that they are able to find a deeper meditation or experience faster than they normally would. So it really comes down to the person and if this works in, you know, what you're trying to achieve.
Yeah. In that same way that, again, using this for sleep may not necessarily help you get to sleep faster, or maybe it will. It probably will. But for my case specifically, it's not going to necessarily help me get to sleep faster than I already am. It's going to help me get better sleep, deeper sleep,
yep.
consistently. So that now that makes sense to me. So, well, Daniel, this has been awesome. And I am really looking forward to trying this out on an even more in-depth basis. And I'm going to link up to it in the show notes with all the science and all the, you know, where you can go to do the free trial, all that kind of stuff for everybody. Is there anything else that I should include in those links?
No, I think that's pretty much it. What I do ask for people is if they try us and they, you know, have a great effect or they don't, feel free to email me. I love hearing user feedback and what people's experiences are. It's interesting because some people, they use us only for focus. Some people only use us for sleep. Some people use us for everything, right? And it's really great because as we are actually releasing a brand new version of our product for next year, really helping me communicate what we're doing, how we're, you know, doing this and the approaches for functional music and for listening. And I just love to hear people's feedback and experience.
Perfect. So, okay, well, I'll make sure to include that in the show notes as well so that if, you know, if people try it out and have feedback, like, they can let you know. So,
perfect. Sounds great.
Awesome. Daniel, thank you so much for being here. This has been fascinating and just I can't wait to get better sleep and hopefully get into a lot of different better brain states moving forward.
Thanks for having me.
Well, that's another podcast crossed off your podcast listening to-do list. If you enjoyed this episode like I did, and if you're ready to jump in and do a trial of Brain.fm, again, make sure to go use my affiliate link, beyondthetodolist.com/BrainFM, so that you can, one, get yourself 20% off your first year, two, do your free trial first and make sure that this works for you like it does for me, and three, you help support this show. And if, while you're trying it out, and as you were listening to this episode, you thought of somebody else who might be interested in trying it out also, would you do me the favor of sharing this episode? You can do that by hitting the share button in whatever podcast player you're listening to this, or head on over to the show notes at beyondthetodolist.com/304. Thanks again for sharing, thanks for listening, and I'll see you next episode.